talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. Some very good news out of New York. This is kind of a funny one and really amazing to me. When you think New York, historically in the Democratic and Republican parties, if you were the governor of New York in particular, but even California, you were an automatic presidential candidate. I mean, you were running a couple of the biggest states in the union. California, the biggest, New York. I mean, people talk Florida and Texas, but the truth of the matter is New York, being the governor of New York, is a very big deal. You're a presidential candidate automatically. You just get talked about. Well, the governor of New York right now is named Kathy Hochul. Kathy Hochul. She was a lieutenant governor, succeeded when Andy Cuomo was squeezed out. He was, I think, an excellent governor. It was a tragedy what happened, but in any event, she's the governor. She's a darn good one. She's doing a good job running for re-election. Squeezed out all of her primary opponents. The Republicans scrambled, and they came up with a guy named Lee Zeldin. Lee Zeldin had been a congressman in the Staten Island area. And you think, okay, he's a New York area, New York City area Republican congressman. He's got to be moderate. He's got to be moderate. Well, let me tell you something. The Republican Party in New York has disappointed. They've disappointed a lot of people. Elise Stefanik, who is a Republican congresswoman from far northern New York, had been a moderate. But she caved. She went full frontal Trump when they came in. They dangled a lot of prestige in front of her. They dangled the number three spot in the House minority Republican leadership. Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader. Scalise, Steve Scalise of Louisiana, the number two guy. And then the number three, Elise Stefanik. So she went full frontal Trump. Stop the steal, MAGA, destroying our democracy. She just turned on a dime. Well, Lee Zeldin never had been all that moderate in the first place. Lee Zeldin said that Biden was not legitimate president of the United States, voted to decertify, which I think is a stupid thing to do in the New York City area. There are five boroughs in New York City. One of them is Staten Island. There's a Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, and Manhattan are the others. And, you know, you don't say stuff like that. Anyway, the guy runs for governor, and he gets the Republican nomination. One of his biggest opponents was Giuliani's son, who I don't know what was going on in that guy's mind. He's going around the state saying, vote for me, I have name recognition, I'm Rudy Giuliani's son. Well, I mean, that's not something that you boast about, especially in New York. Now, Giuliani was a mayor of New York at one time and had cleaned up the city. And if Giuliani had stuck to his knitting and just talked about issues the way he did back in 2012 when he ran for president, was briefly ahead in the polls, that's one thing. But he knuckled under to Trump. And his son didn't get anywhere. So Lee Zeldin is the nominee. And I looked at that, and the polls showed Kathy Hochul beating Lee Zeldin, but it wasn't a blowout. And, you know, I mean, things turn, and there have been Republican governors of New York. Nelson Rockefeller was a Republican governor of New York, for instance. But some of the great Democratic governors of New York, Franklin Roosevelt, Grover Cleveland, went on to be president. So, sort of a horse apiece. Well, just come to find out, reported over the weekend, Lee Zeldin did something incredibly stupid with his nomination papers. What Lee Zeldin did was one of the principal planks of his campaign against the Democrats is that there was allegedly election fraud in 2020. Now, That's going nowhere in New York. That's going nowhere in Wisconsin. That's going nowhere anywhere where people think, oh, well, Trump really won, really? You think so? Well, baloney. The people pushed that should be in prison. They were the ones who pushed the riot, the Green Bay sweep. They're the ones who said, well, what we should do is just have crooked Republicans put in fake electors. And then we'll technically say they won, and technically he's present four more years, and technically what? Joe Biden gets thrown in jail and all this. Hey, this is not Asia. This is not South America or Latin America. This is not Africa. This is not a communist country. This is not a mafia country like Russia. This isn't China. This is not North Korea. We don't pull that kind of stuff. And Lee Zeldin was campaigning that kind of stuff, except that Lee Zeldin made a mistake. Almost 13,000, now that's a lot, signatures for him to appear on the independent party ballot were phony, were crooked. Some of them just, he Xeroxed other pages and thought, what? He'd sneak them in? I mean, people do check these things. Now, what does the Independence Party mean? You got to understand something. In New York, and people have proposed this around the country, but in New York, if you win the Republican nomination, you get on the Republican line on the ballot, and the Democratic nomination, you get on the Democratic line, and you can't win them both. But there are tons of other political parties in New York. There's the Independence Party, the Conservative Party, the Libertarian Party, you know, the Nut Party. You know, you can name it anything you want. And if you get a certain amount of signatures to organize it, you get on the ballot, believe it or not. Here in Wisconsin, if you get a paper ballot, for instance, or you go in on election day, you'll see a page or a couple of pages for Republicans, the Democrats, depending on how many candidates there are, and then you may see Conservative or something else. You can't vote on more than one. If you vote in the Republican primary, you can't vote in the Democratic primary, and you can't vote in the Conservative primary. But we do have an open primary. You don't need to register. You can go in and vote in any one of those you want, but then once you do it, you can't vote in two of them. Can't vote in two of them. Well, in New York, when you go in the general election, whoever the nominee is on all the parties can negotiate and load up and help one of the other ones they like better than the opposition. So, for instance, the Conservatives always give their nomination, and sometimes the Libertarians, to whoever got the Republican nomination. That frequently happens. So a guy like Zeldin was going to go in, and he was going to be on three ballots, Republican, say conservative. In this case, somehow he snuck onto independent. Kathy Hochul's on the Democratic line. Maybe there's a Working Families Party line. I do not know, but there's that kind of thing you can have out in New York. But, you know, when you do that, you have to get signatures for each of those lines that you're on. So when he goes around, Zeldin, and got the signatures to be on the Republican Party ballot, they couldn't sign twice at that point. He had to have people, he had to have trolls running around getting signatures for the independent line and the conservative line. And you know what he did? He Xeroxed or came up with crooked signatures for almost 13,000 people on the independence line. So when he did it, his name is going to be dropped. His name is going to be dropped. And then it turns out that it was the New York Libertarian Party who found this out. For some reason, they don't like Zeldin. Usually they'll put their name on the Republican guy, and they're the guys that ratted him out. My question is, where are the Democrats? Where are the Democrats? Look, in this state, in Wisconsin, and I've seen this happen before, it happened in a county executive race a couple of years ago, you sit down with the other people's signatures, you're permitted to get them. The minute they file, when I file my signatures, the other campaigns all paid, and it wasn't a lot of money, copies, and then they sit down, they're poring over them. trying to find mistakes on enough signatures so that then you get knocked off the ballot. And occasionally it worked. It worked in a county executive race a couple of years ago in Milwaukee County. It can work, especially if you need, say, 400 signatures and the guy turns in 401. You know, you're going to find a couple that have mistakes. Now, in this case in New York, this is big stakes. This is governor of New York. You'd think the clown Zeldin would have had trolls, would have had staff who would have looked at this, and they would have said, hey, these Independence Party sheets of signatures look, I don't know, just call me crazy. Did I just see them 2 minutes ago? Did I see them 2 minutes ago somewhere else? What is this? What is this? Well, they didn't do that. And the Democrats apparently didn't pay any attention to it or enough attention to it. And I do not know whether these were signature pages that were Xerox from the Independence Party 4 years ago or 8 years ago, which statistically somebody died. I mean, somebody flat out died. But even if they were just Xeroxes of their own pages this time, how bad is that? How bad is that? So now he is going to be charged. And here's a guy who claims the 2020 election was rigged and voted not to certify Biden. Big theme in his campaign is election fraud. And you know what this clown is going to do? He is going to be charged with election fraud. Now, when I say charged, he may not be charged criminally. He will scurry in, wringing his hands like a diva in an opera, singing an aria. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to go, woe is me. I had a faithless employee. Somebody screwed up. And they'll let him off, but civilly they'll go after him. Okay, we're going to a break. Lots to talk about. Lots to talk about. Lee Zeldin has mud on his face. Good for Kathy Hochul. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, a piece of big news, piece of very big news, and I think good economic news. The committee from the Republican National Committee, the site convention committee, voted over the weekend to select Milwaukee for the 2024 Republican National Convention. Now, before you start throwing tomatoes, let's talk about why it's good news and to what extent it can be bad news. By the way, this still has to be confirmed beginning of August. I think it's August 2nd and 3rd by the whole Republican National Committee. That has 300 or 400 people on it. But they always go along. They always go along with the site selection committee. That means Republican National Convention is very likely, almost certainly going to come to Milwaukee in the summer of 2024. Now remember something. Here's why I think it's good news. In 2020, we were awarded the Democratic National Convention. It was not the fault of anyone that COVID intervened. Remember, COVID started to hit basically January, February, March time period of 2020. There were no vaccines at that point. People thought that somehow COVID was transmitted by surface infection. People were buying groceries and sticking them in the garage for 3 days to, you know, to kind of de-louse them. People were calling up grocery stores and saying, you do the shopping for me and stick it in my car and I'm going to pull up and pop the trunk and not even talk to you. Here's my credit card. Remember that kind of stuff? And people were afraid to shake hands and this kind of thing. Well, turned out, we later found out this was airborne from sneezing, breathing, that kind of thing. And then, of course, there were vaccines. And now there's going to be an in-person convention. So we got shafted out of the 2020 convention for nobody's fault. There were some proceedings here, but basically people had to make sure that our candidate, Joe Biden, and our congressional people and the rest of them didn't get COVID. And the Republicans did the same thing. It was all virtual. So we had a virtual convention. However, there was a lot of money spent. And not only that, you know, restaurants and hotels in particular, but small businesses, stores that sell to tourists and all that, took a bath because of that. Well, now they're not going to take a bath. The Republican National Committee can bring their convention here in 2024. Now, there are a number of people in the Democratic Party, and I don't blame them. What do you mean in the Democratic Party? I'm the guy. I was the chairman. I don't blame myself. There's a certain distaste. A lot of people go, oh, listen, do I want to walk down Milwaukee and go to one of the great restaurants here? There's so many of them, the Bartolotta Group, Buckley's, Bavette, you have Sanford's, you have, my goodness, you have so many great, Mason Street Grill, you have so many good restaurants. And you know, I'm not leaving anybody out on purpose. Zaffiro's, Lisa's, Sala, of course, that's all Italian in my neighborhood. I go there. All over the place. And you don't want to go walking in. You go walking in with your wife or husband, and you say, oh, we're going to have a great pizza tonight. And they're sitting at the table as Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Lauren Boebert, and Paul Gosar. And you go, I'm going somewhere else. Yeah, I know that's what you're thinking. That's probably not going to happen. Why is that not going to happen? It's probably not going to happen because I was a delegate to the Democratic National Convention in 1980 in New York, in 1984 in San Francisco, and I went with credentials in 1988 in Atlanta, Georgia. So I've been around. I've been to a couple of these rodeos. The truth of the matter is, what happens is people will rent the whole restaurant, you know, donors, this one and that one. They'll rent the whole restaurant, or they'll rent, a party room or that kind of thing. The odds of you're seeing Matt Gaetz at the next table are slim to none, and Slim just left town. However, if you go to the Pfister lobby, you're going to see folks. You're going to see celebrities. I would really like to see Liz Cheney, and I'd really like to see Adam Kinzinger. I hope they go to it. Adam Kinzinger's not running for re-election, and Liz Cheney is she's like Joan of Arc. I mean, she will go down in history as the Joan of Arc, the Republican Party, in the Trump era, just a magnificent historical figure. I hope she wins her primary in Wyoming. Other than that, I hope she gets picked up by Biden and his cabinet. But in any event, I'm hoping she's there. I'd like to see her. And in any event, it's good celebrity sighting. However, there will be demonstrations. There will be demonstrations. Security is going to have to figure out a way how to accommodate demonstrations in a peaceful manner. We do not want Chicago from 1968. Got to be in a peaceful manner and very appropriately letting your sentiments come out. But why do I say it's then good news? You know, there are people who will say, no way, Jose, we do not want this. Well, let me tell you what. I know a lot of people in Milwaukee who own restaurants, small restaurants. I know people in Milwaukee who own hotels. I know people in Milwaukee who have small businesses that sell things that tourists like to buy. And Milwaukee is somewhat dependent on tourism, the way northern Wisconsin can be dependent on tourism in a different way. Up there, snowmobiling, okay, deer hunting, boating, you know, summer sports, winter sports. It's all great. It's terrific. There's no more beautiful place in the world to go than northern Wisconsin in summer or winter. Look, I have relatives in Hayward. I have relatives in Whiskey Rapids. I had relatives in Jump River. You know where Jump River is? Well, I'll give you a hint. It's near Ladysmith. Okay, it's near Ladysmith. So the point of the matter is, I know it, but I also know Milwaukee, and Milwaukee is a great tourist attraction. You know, we have the Brewers. We have the Bucks when they're in season. When the Packers, a lot of people stay in Milwaukee and then drive up to the Packer game and then come back. We have Summerfest, Irish Fest, German Fest, Festa Italiana, We have Bastille Days. We have, I don't know how many fests, tons of fests, great Polish fests, great fests, African World Festival, Summer Moon. It's all good stuff, all good stuff. Indian Summer, all good stuff. So we have all this great stuff. People are in here all the time because you have to pay people. You have to pay wait staff. You have to pay people who make the beds in motels. That money, a couple hundred million bucks, is coming to the Milwaukee area and most of Wisconsin. They'll take rooms in Madison, O'Hare Airport, and Sheboygan, as well as we're seeing Kenosha and Milwaukee. Terrific, terrific. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back to after the break.
Radio app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. The West, Texas, lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't mean to scare everybody, but the call is coming from inside the house. The call is coming from inside the house. What do I mean? If the Republicans win in November, and I'm more and more beginning to believe they will not win the House in November or the Senate. Why do I say that? Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true that the party that holds the White House usually in the first, certainly in the first off-year election and frequently in the second off-year election of an eight-year term, frequently loses seats in the House because people instinctively want balanced government, however, with checks and balances. But this year, with the relentless attack on our democracy by the Republicans, the January 6 hearings, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the obvious drift towards fascism in the Republican Party, this will not be a referendum on Biden and the Democratic Party. This will be a referendum on the growing fascism in the Republican Party, in my view. So I think we have a very good chance of holding the House and the Senate. However, there are increasing signs that if the Republicans win the House in November, we're going to drift even further towards fascism in this respect. First of all, believe it or not, who do you think will be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee if the Republicans take the House? Who do you think will be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee? You think it'd be Adam Schiff or somebody? Are you kidding me? He's a Democrat. No. It will be Jim Jordan. Gymnasium Jim, G-Y-N, Jordan. Scandalous, bad person. He will be the chair of the Judiciary Committee. He has already indicated that he will subpoena for a hearing Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, others like Schiff, and that he will start impeachment proceedings, I'm not kidding, against Joe Biden. As a preliminary matter, the Republicans, under his guidance and Kevin McCarthy's, have already told the committee, the January 6th commission, to preserve all its records. It was not to destroy them. Well, January 6th committee is not going to destroy records, but there are hundreds of thousands of pages of testimony. There are a lot of records. What this is, and it's known in civil litigation and in criminal, but especially civil litigation, as a notice to preserve. A notice to preserve records is if you destroy records after you do that, the judge will not only won't he be happy or she, but they may say, well, that's presumptive that they would have been bad for you, and we're going to proceed accordingly. So why does the January 6th Commission have to preserve records? I think they would have anyway, but now they have to preserve every scrap of paper subject to legal liability, because those records will be used if and when the Republicans take over the House. And how will they be used? They will be used to do an investigation, just like they did with Benghazi. Remember that? They just went on and on about Benghazi. Well, what they'll do now is they'll do something similar. They will investigate Hunter Biden. They will investigate, you know, they'll investigate Zelensky of Ukraine, our allies. They will investigate Liz Cheney. Really? They're going to investigate Liz Cheney for being the vice chair of this commission? They will investigate Adam Kinzinger? Really, for what? Liz Cheney is Joan of Arc, a magnificent historical figure already. Adam Kinzinger is a magnificent historical figure. He will go down in history for voting his conscience and doing his conscience. And they're going to investigate them for what? Integrity? They don't like integrity? There's none in the Republican Party? Most of them checked their manhood in a luggage locker at the Greyhound bus station and left them there and squeak up to Trump. So they're going to investigate Adam Kinzinger for not doing that, and they're going to investigate Liz Cheney for being Joan of Arc. I don't know if you know Joan of Arc, but in the 1400s in France, the British, the English had occupied, there'd been the Hundred Years' War, and they'd occupied a big chunk of France. Joan of Arc was a peasant girl, illiterate. Of course, in those days, women didn't have anything to do with statesmanship or the military, and she was very low class, and she was illiterate. But she was so strong and so brave, so fearless, that she was speaking to the equivalent of the Prince of Wales in France, the Dauphin. He's the guy who's going to take over the king as king when the king dies. And he looked at her and he said, "Why should we follow you into battle?" He said, "You're a peasant, you're a girl, and you can't read or write." And you know what she said? She said, "I can fight." That's what she said. Well, Liz Cheney's the same way. And the clown Jim Jordan, the clown, the assistant wrestling coach, who turned a blind eye to abuse, to sexual abuse. He didn't do it himself, but he turned a blind eye to others who didn't report them. This clown will be the head of the Judiciary Committee? But really? Oh, he will he? And then he thinks he's going to investigate Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. And they have started the groundwork to impeach Joe Biden. For what? For what? For restoring NATO? Standing up to Ukraine, putting the Ruskies on the run, instead of inviting them to the White House with no Americans present, instead of like Trump sitting in Helsinki and trashing his own CIA and FBI and sucking up to Putin. Why did Trump suck up to Putin? Because he'd been funded by the Ruskies, funded by the oligarchs, and then by Putin for 20 years longer. Putin came into power about 20 years ago, but even before that, he was being subsidized, vested in by the commie Ruskies. That's what was happening. And the clown is a Russian agent. The clown Trump is a Russian agent. The Republican Party is the party of sedition. There are some exceptions. Liz Cheney's an exception. Adam Kinzinger's an exception. Now, Moscow Mitch, trying to wiggle out of that label, took a delegation of Republicans to Kyiv to meet with Zelensky. So I appreciate that. But by and large, look at the clowns they have. Tucker Carlson. They have Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz. They have crooked Mike Pompeo, former Secretary of State, who said he admires Putin. He said that in February. Trump said Putin's a genius. This is after he invaded. Putin's a genius after he invaded Ukraine. He got all that land for $2 in sanctions. Trump is a Russian sympathizer. He will destroy NATO. He threatened to take us out of NATO. Biden shored up NATO. He shored up the EU, the European Union, our allies. He's put a mini NATO together in the Pacific to contain the Chinese, the Chaicoms. And who are they? South Korea, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, Philippines, Vietnam. I mean, even Malaysia, for Pete's sake. People are afraid of China over there. Biden, tremendous foreign policy experience, put them all together. Put them all together. Going to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Well, that's kind of funny for Jordan, because what is he going to do, retract about 70% of it? It's all testimony from Republicans. But I got a question for you, Matt. Since the, I got a bad echo here, but anyway, since the campaign strategy or slogan for Trump is now run for the White House to avoid the big house, seriously, that's about what it is. Why does he think that gives him a get-out-of-jail-free card? Just because he's running for president?
That's a good question. Yeah, let me hit that, because we're talking about the change in Congress. But here's why I think Trump is doing it. He does think it's a get-out-of-the-jail-free card. I really like I like your quip. He runs for the White House to stay out of the big house. Here's the law on it. Let me just bake into the law and the history of this. First of all, there is no law that says even a sitting president can't be criminally charged. No law. What there is a Justice Department memo that said that as a matter of prosecutorial discretion, because prosecutors can decide when to prosecute and how severely to prosecute, we will not prosecute a sitting president. And that's been a bipartisan thing in this memo for a number of presidencies. Why is that? What you don't want, for instance, is if you have a Republican attorney general and a Democratic president, they cook up some fake thing to prosecute them and to try to destabilize the party in the country. You don't want that. I understand that. It should freeze the statute of limitations, though. We say toll the statute of limitations so that they can prosecute him after he gets out of office. Now, there's that. It does not say that you can't prosecute a guy who's running for president, because if it did, what would happen is it wouldn't be just Donald Trump. It'd be Joe Blow, who owns dry cleaners in Cleveland, and they pick him up for child porn, or they pick him up for burglary or something, or cooking his books to the bank. And then he goes, I'm running for president, and he just files and doesn't do anything. And then they're frozen for 4 years. Well, they don't want that. Here you have, so that you can prosecute him. However, what happens when the criminal, Trump, is a former president? And not only a former president, was president through 2020, up until very recently. It's the appearance. I think they think that it gives the appearance of a political power play. In other words, it's the kind of thing you do in Africa, Asia, South America, communist country, jihadist country, kind of thing. Cook up charges, people around the world would think, even though that's false, he actually committed these offenses. So that is why I think that they're reluctant. And the problem is that the district attorney in Atlanta is going to have a big decision to do, and so is the there are other prosecutors around the country. They're doing it because of the appearance. Thanks for calling in. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-789. A lot more back after the break. I have to make it to Rose's back door. Something is dreadfully wrong, for I feel a deep burning pain in my soul. Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there was a sad thing in Indiana yesterday. There was a mass shooting in a mall. at least four victims. They're still counting. I think maybe three dead and one wounded, maybe more than that. What stopped them was, I think there was a 21, I think his age was 21 or 22, a guy who had a concealed carry permit. This is in the food court of a mall, a shopping mall. And this guy had a concealed carry permit, and he pulled out his gun and killed the murderer. Now, that in itself, you say, great, and I applaud him. He was a hero and a good Samaritan. He certainly was. But depending on people walking around with guns in their pocket to stop mass shooters, a lot of them with guns in their pocket turn out to be mass shooters. So what do we do about it? Let me give you two pieces of data. And where are we at? John Cornyn of Texas is a Republican. He's a conservative. He's not like Ted Cruz. He occasionally makes murmurs of doing something right. Occasionally. I don't want him. I don't want him in the Senate, but he's there. He was one of the Republicans who signed on to that right after Uvalde, the shooting in Uvalde, 19 little ones and two teachers. He signed on with a couple of Democrats to push through a bill that was supposedly gun reform. It was almost laughable, so weak. It basically said that if somebody 18 to 21 goes in to buy an AR-15, you can look at his juvenile records. Yeah, come on. That's going to stop it? Somebody 18 to 21 can buy one online. He can go to a gun show in a parking lot at midnight, and a guy in a raincoat comes up and sells it to him. It's not going to do anything at all, hardly. And it puts a little money towards mental illness and all that. It was a Band-Aid. And yet, in Texas, let me give you some data. His disapproval rating in Texas, in all populations, has now hit 50% with a 24% approval. 2-1 against him on disapproval as a result of that. Why do I say as a result of that? Because the last poll in April, there's 39% approval and 32% disapproval. He was above water by 7 points. Now he's below water, 2.1, by 26 points. In other words, his approval dropped from 39 to 24 by 15 points. His disapproval went up 18 points from 32 to 50 just because of saying that we can look at the juvenile records of people who are 18 who want to buy an AR-15. One third of Republicans in that state now say they disapprove. So this has become, the way this issue has become is that people are afraid to touch the issue. Now, Nancy Pelosi is not. She is now putting in a bill after the Indiana shooting last night in the mall, and especially after Uvalde and Buffalo and elsewhere, to ban assault weapons. They were banned in 1994. They were already banned. But the Republicans managed to limit the ban to 10 years. And in 2004, George W. Bush lifted it, his administration. That's what happened. Let me tell you something. In the 1930s, machine guns were banned. If that came up again, they wouldn't get banned. How many times do I have to say it? The Second Amendment. The Second Amendment gives you a right to bear muskets. It gives you a right to bear muskets. And I'm being somewhat facetious. You can buy, but you can't have military weapons. If there's anybody out there who thinks that private people should be able to own nuclear weapons or biological or chemical, don't even call me. Don't even call me. Go back to Mendota. Do not even call me. If anybody out there thinks that people should be able to own shoulder-held weapons, bazookas, missile launchers to take down airplanes, don't even call me. Stingers or javelins, don't even call me. Are you crazy? They'll shoot down commercial airliners. If anybody thinks that they should own machine guns, don't call me. Back in the 30s, they were outlawed 90 years ago, okay? So why is an assault rifle, an AR-15 or AK-47, not like a machine gun, submachine gun? It's more lethal if you put a 1930s submachine gun in somebody's hands in the old FBI movie. You know, it had like a big round wheel on it. It was weird looking. They wouldn't stand a chance against an AR-15. Nobody needs an AR-15. You want an AR-15? Go into the Marine Corps. Yeah, go into the Army. And if you're afraid to go in the Marine Corps or Army, or too lazy to go in the Marine Corps or the Army, Don't come crying to me. Do not come crying to me. Going to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gene?
Great show as usual, Matt. You know, these military weapons are a threat to our law enforcement significantly. And they need to get a handle on this. You know, I'm really going to echo, so I'll hang up real quick here. But it is a, people who care about our law enforcement will get those weapons off the streets and get them out of the hands of everybody. It's just nuts. Thanks, Matt. You have a good day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Gene. That was an excellent comment. Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. I've always said I'm one of the few people in the Democratic Party. We're going to say it now. The Second Amendment was a liberal amendment. We cannot lose the Second Amendment. There are people running around saying we should repeal the Second Amendment. That's baloney. Why is it a liberal amendment? Because throughout history, throughout the Middle Ages, right up to the King of England, if you were a peasant, you couldn't own a weapon, which in those days was a sword in the Middle Ages. Only aristocrats, knights, you know, highly born people could have weapons. Why? Because the king was afraid that a peasant army would form and then kill the king and set up some kind of republic. That's why. So when George Washington came along, and Thomas Jefferson, the people like Madison, Franklin, John Jay, all these terrific people that formed our put our Constitution together in the First Continental Congress and our laws. In the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment is the most important: separation of church and state, no established religion, and freedom of the press and freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom to petition the government without getting arrested. In England, you would have been arrested. But the Second Amendment came right after it, and that is the people have a right to bear arms. And they say for a well-regulated militia, that's true. But it's more than that. It really is more than that. Because people are not peasants. They were farmers and shopkeepers and workers, and they were equal. Now, were they equal in the modern sense? No. In the 1788, when Washington was elected president, you could only vote if you were essentially a white man who owned property. If you rented, you couldn't own. I'm not kidding. Not kidding. Now, this has all changed. However, the idea of owning weapons really is a very liberal concept. Everybody gasped in Europe. They go, what? Everybody's going to have a musket? Well, they may take out. Well, no, you're not going to take out the king because we don't have a king. Well, they'll take out the president. No, they won't. They can vote him out every 4 years. That's the beauty of democracy. So we do need a Second Amendment. I have no problem at all with people owning handguns and rifles. None whatsoever. But when it comes to weapons of war, why do you think that people can't own nuclear weapons? If we blow up the planet, how about chemical, biological weapons? How about these other weapons? Because they would blow up the planet. How about bazookas, stingers, and stuff? Okay, we're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
As a crowd gathers round, an angry young man face down in the street with a gun in his hand in the ghetto. And as her young man dies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, another little baby child is born. And his mama cried.